Book of Luke, chapter 10, also John chapter 11, and John chapter 12. Throughout the Gospels, we see beautiful word pictures of Jesus and his people together in fellowship, in communion. These pictures are in a variety of settings and circumstances. And we find great encouragement in these because we can see ourselves having the same experiences. There's a message in each of these pictures, and that is, Jesus loves and cares, that he's kind, he's tender, he's compassionate. Probably most important, he's available and accessible to his own. And in this message today, we want to look at one such picture. We want to see it in three different settings and circumstances. In Luke chapter 10, verse 39, she being Martha, had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. You see the picture. In John chapter 11, verse 32, and when Mary, same woman, was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. John chapter 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You get the picture, but in Luke 10, verse 39, notice, sat at Jesus' feet. She did that on purpose. We see in John 11, 32, she fell down, not accidentally though, at his feet. And in John 12, verse 3, we see again anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. So in each incident, there is a posture at the feet of Jesus Christ. Now in Eastern Bible lands, people back then, and they still do, pay far more attention to posture than you and I normally would do. Posture, of course, would be indicative of the greatness and majesty of some king and the submissiveness of the people. In our text verses, we see a woman. She's physically postured at the feet of Jesus. And I believe their posture of body was certainly indicative of her more important posture of soul. And that's our subject this morning, the posture of soul at Jesus' feet. Now, each of these verses that we've read deal with three separate occasions, three separate places, but they involve one woman, Mary of Bethany. We learn from John 11 that she was the sister of Lazarus, and also, of course, the sister of Martha. More importantly, she was identified with Christ. And she was a woman who possessed a walk with the Lord. And she can be found at Jesus' feet. This is an intriguing feature of her life. Three separate times we find her at Jesus' feet. She has this habit of being at Jesus' feet. And again, though this was her posture of body, more importantly, it is her posture of soul. And it's this posture that teaches us some valuable lessons about our own relationship with the Lord. We, of course, live in a day of so-called intellectualism. No doubt we live in a day of haughtiness, pride, selfishness, in a day of shallow and deficient spirituality. And it's just not a common thing for people to be at the feet of another. But we can learn much from Mary of Bethany. In each of these occasions, Jesus, of course, was there. That's obvious. It is very obvious that Jesus was there. But on each occasion, it is specifically mentioned that Jesus was there. In Luke 10, our text there is stated in verse 38, right before our text verse 39. He entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha, this is Mary of Bethany's sister, received him into her house. Though he makes mention that Jesus was there. In John 11, verse 28, it is stated, the Master is come. Again, Jesus is there. In John 12, verse 1, we read, Jesus came to Bethany. Now, in each of these three occasions, we see Mary at the feet of Jesus, and though it is obvious that Jesus was there, so obvious that it does not need to be said, yet it is specifically declared that Jesus was there. And Mary is at his feet. Now, wherever Jesus was, there was a purpose for him being there. There was a reason for him being there. And I believe in each of these occasions, he was there for Mary. He was there for Mary. Jesus was there. And he was there specifically for Mary. I'd like to think about that. Jesus is here. And he is so for me. He is so for you. And as we've said in the past, wherever Jesus was, he was who he was. Wherever Jesus was, he's there as God. He's there as the creator, the sustainer of all things. He's there as the Almighty. Jesus was there. And he was there as the eternal one, the immutable one, the immortal one. He was there as the omniscient one, the infinite one. He was there. And he was there as the one and only Savior, one and only deliverer from sin. He was there. And he was there as the only way to God. He was there as the one and only door into the blessings of God. Jesus was there, and He was there as the bread and the water of life, as the great I Am, as the shepherd and friend of His people, as the rock and only hope. Jesus was there. He was there as the greatest of all, the one who is above all. He was there. He was there as the most precious, the most lovely of all. Wherever Jesus was, He was God's remedy. He was God's solution for whatever the circumstance, whatever the problem might be. Jesus was there. And wherever He was there as the manifestation of God's love, His grace, His mercy, His long-suffering, His goodness. And He was there. Jesus was there. And He was there as the one who could impact and alter and transform whatever it was that needed to be altered or transformed. Jesus was there. And wherever Jesus is, there is no condition, there is no situation. There is no circumstance, there is no sin, there is no guilt. There is no enslavement, there is no problem, there is no difficulty. There is no trial or disease or plague or affliction or wound or need that is beyond Him. Wherever Jesus is, He's the answer. So Jesus was there. And Mary of Bethany, she's a woman who loves Him. She's a woman who has a close attachment and bond to Him. She's a woman who knows Him. A woman who is captivated by His person. She is a woman filled with wonder and amazement concerning Him. So Jesus being there, on each occasion, she is drawn to Him. This is how we can begin to measure spirituality. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. The question is, are we drawn to Him? That's the question. Are we drawn to Him? Mary was drawn to Him. And on three separate occasions, we see her at Jesus' feet. This is where she was drawn. May I say, this is where she felt most comfortable, at the feet of Christ. Where is our comfort zone? Is it at the feet of Jesus Christ? Do we feel comfortable, Jesus being here? Do we feel comfortable when Jesus shows up in our life? And are we drawn to Him? So we want to look at these three occasions. Mary of Bethany at the feet of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10, we have our first glimpse of this woman, Mary of Bethany. Martha, her sister, had opened her home to Jesus. We see that in verse 38. Martha received Him into her house. So Jesus is in the house. And no doubt He was welcomed. And He was embraced by both Martha and Mary. And I believe that they were both very happy that He was there. I believe they both had a desire to honor him. And they both saw this as a privilege and an opportunity that he was there. Martha sees it as an opportunity to prepare a meal for him. Nothing wrong with that. And Mary saw it as an opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and learn. And without going into the details of the account, we've preached upon it before, Jesus being there had two different effects upon these two sisters. And without a doubt, Mary ended up enjoying the occasion much more than her sister Martha. Because Martha would soon become exasperated. We read in verse 40 that she was cumbered or pulled away, distracted and overburdened about much serving. In verse 41, Jesus rebuked her. He didn't rebuke her for her much serving. That's not what he rebuked her for. What he rebuked her for was that she became careful in her serving. That is, that she became worried and anxious. Thou art careful and troubled, alarmed, fearful, distressed about many things. So there's Martha. She was guilty of putting the emphasis upon serving rather than Christ. It's not wrong to serve. We are to serve. But there's a place of emphasis. And Martha put the emphasis so much so on Christ or on serving that she lost her focus on the one she served. She got so caught up with the details, not that the details aren't important, but she got so caught up with it that the service became more of a priority than him. We are to serve, but any time our service causes us to lose focus of him, we're serving him wrong. Anytime service becomes a priority over he that we serve, we're serving wrong. And that's what Jesus is rebuking Martha for. She became so sidetracked with much serving that again the serving became the emphasis rather than the one she served. Jesus said in verse 42, that one thing, but one thing, contrasted with the many things, is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part. And what was this? Verse 39, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. While Martha was scurrying about engrossed and absorbed with the many things that had to be done, for this perfect meal, things that she felt needed to be done, she becomes anxious. She becomes very distressed. And there's Mary, sitting at Jesus' feet in stillness, very calm, and heard his word. She's seeking intimacy with Christ. She sat at Jesus' feet. She's gripped by his person. She's centered and focused upon him. It says she heard his word. As a result, there was a calmness. And a tranquility and a peace and a contentment that came upon her. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. And as she did, she saw and felt the goodness of him. She saw and felt his mercy and his grace and his long suffering. She saw and felt the love of God. Again, we are to serve, but we cannot do so properly and not feel His goodness and His love and His grace and His mercy. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and she was blessed. And as she heard His word, no doubt she was edified. She was encouraged. She found peace. She found strength. She found fulfillment. She found refreshment. She found comfort. And I believe that she was rejuvenated. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. And no doubt there was a sense of security. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. She did so with great joy. It was a pleasure. It was a delight that filled her soul. Again, she sat at Jesus' feet. We need to see her there. But then we need to also remember that this is not just merely a posture of body, but it is a posture of soul. You and I cannot physically, bodily sit at Jesus' feet. But that is to be our posture of soul. And I can sit at Jesus' feet. So again, we need to make personal examination. Is it my posture of soul to sit at Jesus' feet? And that needs to be so in our serving. This needs to be the posture of our soul. This world is sinful. This world is wicked. This world is twisted and corrupt and vile. An enmity with God possesses a hostility toward God. But Jesus is here, and Jesus shows up in our lives, and we can sit at His feet. And oh, may we not just simply go through certain acts, but it would truly be our posture of soul to sit at His feet in reverence, in worship, receiving from Him, seeking a special closeness to Him. That brings us to our second occasion in John chapter 11. We have our next view of Mary. Of Bethany. Jesus had come back to Bethany after the death of Lazarus. And the sisters, Martha and Mary, went out to meet Him. And again, we see her at the feet of Jesus. The circumstances are completely different. And now she's at the feet of Jesus in deep sorrow, seeking His comfort. Now at the beginning of John chapter 11, Lazarus becomes sick. Martha and Mary, his sisters, send for Jesus, John 11 verse 3. But Jesus did not come right away. In the meantime, Lazarus dies. Notice in verse 19 of John 11, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So there's this group of people around Martha and Mary trying to give them some comfort. While this was going on, Martha heard that Jesus was on His way to Bethany. And she, in verse 20, Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And Martha has a conversation with Christ. And that conversation is recorded in verses 21 through 27. And then Martha returns to the house. And she says, Mary, Mary. She calls Mary over to herself. And notice what she said in verse 28. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Mary, Jesus is come. And he's asking for you. He's waiting for you. Verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town. He's on the outskirts. But was in that place where Martha met him. So he's waiting. He's waiting for Mary. And I picture Mary running down the street. Not just lollygagging, but she's running down the street with a heart that was breaking. She has an inward pain and hurt. She's full of sorrow and grief. And she's heading to where Jesus is. Her heart is drawn toward them. And then we read in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Though she said the same thing that Martha did, as you read the conversation that took place, she says the same thing that Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I don't think they're complaining there. I think they're trying to understand why he didn't come right away. But though they both said the same thing, and though they both spoke from hearts that were breaking and greatly pained, there are two things recorded about Mary that are not recorded about Martha. In verse 32, we read that Mary saw him. Does not say that about Martha. Now, no doubt, when Martha came to where Jesus was, she saw him. No doubt about that. But we are specifically told that Mary saw him. And I believe that Mary saw him in a way that Martha didn't. She saw him in a way that Martha did not. As a result of seeing him, that brings us to the second thing recorded of Mary that was not recorded of Martha. She fell down at his feet. And from that position, she said what she said. From that position, she poured out her heart to him. And again, this is the posture of her body. But more importantly, it is the posture of her soul. Again, Martha had said to Mary, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Can you hear those words today? The Master is come and calleth for thee. And if those words are real, you need to do what Mary did. You need to be drawn. You need to move toward him. She left where she was and came and fell at Jesus' feet. And there she is pouring out her heart to Him. Here we are today in a world that proves to be a place of anxiety, darkness, thirst, on and on and on we could go. But I remind you, there is no problem. There is no hurt that He is not the answer for. There is no question that He is not the answer for. There is no need that He cannot supply. There is no obstacle that He cannot overcome. There's nothing broken that He cannot fix. There's nothing ruined that He cannot restore. There is no disease, there is no wound that He cannot heal. There is no load that He cannot carry. And there is no storm that He cannot calm. He is, and He always is, the one who can. And we hear these words, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Calleth for thee personally. Leave where you are. Run to Him. Fall down at His feet. Why? Because of who He is and because of who you are. Because at His feet, there's mercy there. There's the love of God there. There's deliverance. There's forgiveness there. There's comfort. There's relief. There's peace. There's strength. There's reviving. There's fulfillment. At Jesus' feet, there is a joy and a pleasure and a delight that you will not find anywhere else. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Is our heart drawn to Him? Is our heart immediately drawn to those words, the Master, the Master? She knew who the Master was. If you were to say to many of God's people today, the Master is come and calleth, they would think of their boss or perhaps their spouse or whatever. But Jesus would probably be way down on the list. The Master has come. And she knew exactly what that meant. And she is drawn to Him. And that brings us to the third occasion. We see her at Jesus' feet in appreciation. We see her there learning. We've seen her there in sorrow, and now we see her there in appreciation in John chapter 12. Lazarus has been raised from the tomb, and he now sits at a table with Jesus. What a beautiful picture. Mary is also there. And she has a box that's filled with sweet fragrance. And as she looks upon that scene, and she thinks upon the great blessings of the Lord, how good He's been to her. We read in verse 3 that she breaks that box and anoints the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So there she is again at the feet of Jesus. It's completely different circumstances. Entirely different occasion. And she's at the feet of Jesus. She breaks that box of perfume. And it's as if she said, Jesus, I'm not here to ask you for anything at all. I just came to praise you. And Where can you better praise the Lord than at His feet? She is saying, I just come to thank you. I want to tell you that I love you, that you're the dearest friend that I have. You're my everything. And she is saying, thank you, Jesus. Her heart is bursting with gratitude and love, and she's filled with wonder and amazement at His goodness toward her. And she breaks open that box and kneels at the feet of Jesus. This was her posture of body. More importantly, it was her posture of soul. And here we are. We've been raised from the holding power of sin. We've been raised from the depths of unrighteousness and wickedness. Raised from the alienation and estrangement that we were in, from the darkness and from the enmity and from the depths of spiritual bankruptcy and condemnation. And now there's a table spread, just like we have here in John chapter 12. Lazarus has been raised and there's a table. And there is a place for me at that table. What a wonder. The Lord has a table spread. And because of who He is, because of what He has done, I have a place at that table. Just seems to me that I ought to imitate Mary's example and be drawn to Him. Be drawn to His feet. You consider today that it's all because of Him that you've been raised from the tomb. And it's all because of Him that you have a place at the table. Because of Him, you've been cleansed. Because of Him, you've been forgiven. Because of Him, you have found full pardon and reconciliation with God. Because of Him, you have passed from death unto life and you've been made nigh. Because of Him, you've been redeemed. Because of Him, you've been delivered from the curse of the law and the power of darkness. Because of Him, you're a joint heir with Him. Because of Him, you have fellowship with God. Because of Him, you are the sons and daughters of God. Because of Him, we are accepted by God. Just seems to me that we ought to be drawn to Him. And we ought to feel compelled to just fall down at His feet and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There are times when we ought to go to Jesus Christ, not asking anything from Him, but simply to thank Him for what He has done for us. We've been gloriously saved. We ought to be drawn to His feet. It ought to just be a magnet. One day, because of Jesus, we're going to be in glory. And where will we be? At the feet of Jesus. They cast their crowns at His feet, singing, Thou art worthy. Oh, and we look forward to that day when we'll fall at His feet, worthy is the Lamb. But in the meantime, may you and I still be drawn to the feet of Jesus Christ. We don't have to wait to get to heaven. to have the posture of Saul, to be at his feet. So on three different occasions and places, we find this Mary of Bethany at the feet of Jesus. The truth is, if you read through the Gospels, you will find various ones at the feet of Jesus Christ. And you will find them, you'll see them there finding pardon, finding healing, and rest. You'll see them there in prayer, in worship. And as you put all that together, you have to come to the conclusion, what a place to be. At the feet of Jesus. And may that be the posture of our soul. We find ourselves in a variety of occasions. We find ourselves in a variety of situations, circumstances. But may it always be the posture of our soul to be at the feet of Jesus Christ. Because that's where you'll find strength. That's where you'll find peace. That's where you'll find tranquility and contentment. At the feet of Jesus Christ. So examine our posture of soul. And again, it's a posture of our soul. That doesn't mean we have to stop serving. Mary did not participate in the serving of the meal because her physical posture, you can only be in one place. But when it's the posture of our soul, it ought to be the posture of our soul in all of our serving at Jesus' feet. That ought to be the posture of our soul in all of our worship. When we come into the house of God, our posture of soul ought to be at Jesus' feet. So we need to examine today, what is our posture of soul? What is our posture of soul? What has gone through your mind as you've sat here this morning? What you're having for lunch, dinner? Where you're going, what you're going to do. Well, if that be the case, that's your posture of soul. But has our posture of soul been just sitting at Jesus' feet? And I don't believe you can sit there without it making a manifest difference in your life. It will show. Whatever the posture of our soul is, it will show in our life. So all that the Lord would help us, that our posture of soul would be at Jesus' feet. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song. Let's all stand, brother.